On this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. And we are so glad that you're with us in worship today. And we want to welcome all of you as we've gathered together in the name of Christ. And He is with us in this place this morning. And so as we begin our service this morning, let's stand together and join in singing our Gloria Patria. God has called us to this place of peace and rest.
We open ourselves to Christ who is our peace.
The Lord offers us refreshment for our souls.
We open ourselves to this wondrous gift.
It is the gift of the Lord's peace for us. Come and rest.
We praise God for the wonder of peace.
Rejoice today. For Christ is in our midst. Well, if you have your little insert, we're going to join together and sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," this morning.
Just to rest upon His promise, just to know.
together there for our opening prayer. God of our peace, we gather here this morning with lives filled with activity and anxiety. Help us to let go and find our rest in you. Speak peace to our spirits and refresh our souls, that the pieces of our lives may serve to bring life to others. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated, and we're going to sing that little chorus a couple times through. Spirit of the Living God. This morning, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. Maybe I can put them on the carpet over here, so you guys won't all be able to see, but that's all right. You'll be able to hear. So, yep, there you go. I'll sit here. You can sit there. Hey, so they're coming. Ashley, you can have the rocking chair.
Aww.
Hey, look, you got matching dresses on today. Wow. Come on, you want to sit down? Go ahead, sit down. I know, but you look so big to them. All right.
Is that a bad thing? Okay.
No, it's not a bad thing. But so they can see, so it's all right. Okay. So, how are you guys doing today?
How are you?
Are you doing good? You're not going to smile for me today? There you go. That's what I like to see. Yes. So, we're talking a little bit about peace and being accepted. So, sometimes as kids, we like to be accepted, don't we? We want our friends to accept us. We want our friends to play with us when we come over. Have you ever had some friends that didn't want to play with you? Yeah, I think I remember that at times, yeah. And I'm going to make a confession here. There might have been some times when I was in elementary school where I said, no, you can't be a part of our group.
Same.
Yeah, see, we probably all done that before. And that's part of dealing with relationships and getting along and having fun with each other. Well, the good thing is that God has accepted us no matter what is going on in our lives. And so today, we know that God loves us and accepts us who we are. Doesn't matter what we like, what we think, God loves us and accepts us. And he did that because of Jesus and what Jesus did for us. He kind of broke down the barriers that we as human beings kind of set up against one another. I mean, okay, well, let me use you for an example. So why did you say to one of your friends, you can't play with us? Is it because you were playing a certain sport at recess?
For one, I was playing a certain sport. It was soccer, and I knew he was not good at soccer, and I knew, what's the point if he's not going to have fun when he's just going to go donkin'?
Okay, okay. So, well, see, that's what I'm saying. So we all have reasons, don't we? But the thing is Jesus has broken all those reasons and tells us and teaches us those reasons don't matter anymore because we are to accept one another and love one another for who we are. And that, as human beings, is something hard for us to do because we've grown up in cultures that teach us otherwise. And it's hard when everybody else is doing it and we're trying not to. But we have to remember the reason why we're accepted and loved and welcomed is because of what Jesus did. And nobody likes to be on the outside looking in, do we? No, we want to be a part of what's going on. And that's the thing, is we're all a part of what God is doing. Okay, somehow, sorry, Mom, if you can get them to go back to their seats.
Yeah, we'll try.
If she wants to stay up here and play for a while, it ain't going to bother me.
Good luck.
I don't know. Let's go back.
She might mosey back. She can take some of those things with her.
You just want me to leave her?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, she can take some stuff with her if she wants to go back.
Okay.
I bet if you go back, she'll probably come.
You want?
Actually.
I just leave? Okay. I'm over here.
You can go with Mom. There we go. Oh, yeah. As we go to our time of prayer this morning, we want to have an opportunity to have you share your joys and concerns today. And so maybe somebody this morning, she's doing fine. Those that will be listening online will be wondering, what is he talking about? So, I think I saw a hand. Yeah, go ahead.
Jenny had a lawnmower accident a couple weeks ago. And she hurt her diaphragm. She's in a lot of pain.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
She came to church last week and she couldn't sing.
Oh, really? She didn't seem like she was in pain, but yeah, well, you use that in a certain way. Okay, so we want to remember Jenny in our prayers this morning. I see another hand. Yeah.
Well, I've got a joy and I've got a concern. Eddie Schaus is not doing too good. And praise God, he saved us last night. We were riding down in the semi and this young kid with his dad next to him pulled out, waited for the truck in front of us to go, and then he pulled right out in front of us. There was no place for us to go, either roll it in the ditch or roll it on the other side. So the kid put his foot in the accelerator and he went down, he pulled up to the next house in the driveway and he turned around and went home. So I don't know what happened.
You didn't tell the heart, we missed him.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Close.
Well, we're thankful that everybody was okay. And we want to pray for Eddie. Did you have to talk?
Just unspoken.
Okay. Yep. And we know God knows the unspoken needs. Someone else. Joy or concern today? What is her first name?
Kathy.
Kathy. So we want to remember Kathy in our prayers, who experienced the fall and this brain bleed and some paralyzing on the one side. Definitely need to lift her up in our prayers for sure. Okay.
I'm just so thankful we've got such beautiful crops. We've got timely rains.
Yes.
I talked to the guy last night, he got 15 inches in the last 2 days. And we have just been blessed with easy rains and just beautiful crops. We don't have the drought like we do out west.
Yes, yes, yes. Very thankful for that too. I've been thinking about that. Yes, how good the crops look. Somebody else, hang on a minute. Go ahead.
Rob Hess, who's been battling brain cancer, has had hospice called in.
Okay. So we want to remember Rob this morning and pray for him and the family. I saw another hand.
One of David's care people that he takes care of, the son called me this morning and his dad had fallen and he has a brain bleed.
Oh boy.
And he's in Mima Valley. His name is Ben Heiser.
Okay.
And so.
So we want to remember Ben in our prayers then with this fall and the brain bleed. Yeah. Wow. Someone else, yeah.
A friend of mine from work, Tom Bennett, battling cancer.
Okay. I want to lift up Tom in our prayers, who's been mentioned as battling cancer. Someone else, anybody else then this morning?
Yeah. Yeah, Joy, Georgia, with our joyful beginnings, have 34 women there on Monday.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
And then our prayer concern to Trevor and Emma,
she got home.
She got home.
Okay.
Okay.
And I still have a silent request.
Okay. We know God knows that. Someone else? Anyone else?
Just wait. Keep John Taylor's wife in your prayers with his passing. She's kind of struggling here lately, and so is his son, Andy.
So what is her first name?
Sandy.
Sandy and who?
Andy.
Andy, okay. So we want to keep them, Sandy and Andy, in our prayers with the struggles with that loss of the loved one. Anyone else? I thought I saw. Yeah.
A friend, Katie, who is having a double mastectomy on Wednesday.
Yeah, so we want to remember Katie in our prayers, asking for God's healing touch for her. And having that double mastectomy.
Betty, we got back to the doctor this week and she's going to have a biopsy done and probably a shot in her silk. I told somebody about that. The gorilla. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Of course, they think the veins come from.
Okay. So we want to pray for Betty. She's going to be having that biopsy and praying for God's touch there. Anybody else? Anybody else this morning? We want to remember, and I saw this on the news. I just happened to turn on. I usually don't watch it too often, but I happened to turn on the TV and the news was on and they were talking about the floods going on in Germany. Yes, and what was it, like 180 people have lost their lives in that? Wow, that's a lot in a, you know, in a first world situation at times. And yeah, so appreciate your prayers for that. We want to pray for Bonnie. It's not this coming week. It's going to be the following week, isn't it? Yeah, we'll be having the surgery. Kathy was saying she's been doing really well here lately. We're thankful for that, but we definitely want to keep her in our prayers. Appreciate your prayers for Jody's dad, Bruce. I think he's going to be getting maybe another round of treatment. Is it this coming week again? Appreciate your prayers for strength and healing for him. Anybody else then? Before we go to prayer? All right. Well, lots and lots of names that have been mentioned. And as she plays there this morning, I'll give you a chance to pray, and then I'll come and close us out. Our gracious God, as we pause today, in the midst of our busyness, and sometimes the things that we face in life can be overwhelming, we are thankful today that Christ is our peace, and that He gives us that presence in the midst of our difficulties and our struggles and our worries and our anxieties. And He is there to help us in the midst of those times. And Lord, we just thank You that we can come before You and call upon You. We lift up those that have been mentioned, so many today. We think about Katie, who's going in for that surgery, that You will guide and direct, and that Your healing touch will be there. We think about Trevor and Emma, God, for Your healing touch for them today. For Jenny, Lord, who's battling this pain, God, we just pray for Your healing touch. For Eddie today, with these various issues, Lord, we just pray for Your healing touch there. We pray for Kathy and Ben today, that both have fallen and have the brain bleeds and other issues because of that, complications. God, we just ask for Your healing touch and strength and grace for them today. We lift up Betty to You, who's going in for this biopsy, Lord. We just pray that Your hand will be there, and we just trust You through all of that, and pray for Your peace and healing for her today. We lift up Rob today, that's been battling the brain cancer and that they've called in hospice. We don't know everything that's involved there, but we just pray for Your peace and Your grace and Your touch today. We lift up Tom, who's been mentioned, that's battling cancer, God. We just ask for Your healing touch and strength and grace for him today. Lord, thanking You for that. Lord, we lift up Sandy and Andy today with the loss of their loved one. God, we pray for Your peace and Your comfort and Your touch today upon them, that You will minister to them as only You know how. We lift up Bonnie, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that she has been doing well here lately, but Lord, we're continuing to be concerned about that tumor that she is facing, and we just pray for Your continued healing touch. We pray as she goes in for surgery that they'll be able to take all of that out and give her some relief and peace there, and we're thankful for that. We pray for Bruce, God, asking Your continued healing touch and strength for him during this time of treatment, that You'll just give him that peace and strength that he needs. And Lord, we lift up these two unspoken needs. Lord, we know that You know what those are. And we just call and upon You and rely upon Your grace for those situations, whatever they may be. And we thank You for that, as only You can do. And Lord, we continue to lift up, as we often pray for our first responders and our medical personnel, and some of those that are working around the clock, it seems, sometimes in different situations. Lord, we think about our men and women that are serving in our armed forces, God, that You will be with them. We think about the people in Germany right now, in that town, Lord, with the floods, with all that loss and loss of life. God, we just pray for Your grace and strength. We pray for Your church in the midst of that would be a blessing somehow, even when they've lost much, that they will be a blessing, God, and be able to minister in the midst of the difficulties that those folks are facing right now. And God, we are grateful for all the blessings that You've brought into our lives. We're thankful that we are chosen in Christ Jesus, as we talked about last week. And because of Him, that we are with You. And thank You for those things as we continue to pray and ask Your blessing upon Your people today as they've gathered in worship. And we continue to ask Your blessing during our time as we continue our service this morning, as we break the bread of Your word May you feed us today and encourage us and remind us of who we are in you as we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Sharing this morning, and we want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving as we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today.
Praise him, all creatures, here we go. Praise him, all.
Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Thank you, God, for the blessings you have poured out upon us. Consecrate this offering as it supports the ministries of this church. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. So our scripture reading this morning, over the next few weeks, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do all of them or not. I decided to go ahead and do the next one, but there's a series of like four or five, I think, lectionary readings through the book of Ephesians. It doesn't do every, as you see, we skipped part of some of it. That's because the other parts of Ephesians fall in other years. But I think I'm going to go through some of them and we'll see where we go. But today we're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 11 through 22. So remember that once you were Gentiles by physical descent, who were called uncircumcised by Jews who are physically circumcised. At that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens rather than citizens of Israel and strangers to the covenant of God's promise. In this world, you had no hope and no God. But now, thanks to Christ Jesus, you who were once so far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. When he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and to those who were near. We both have access to the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. So now you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. As God's household, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord. Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in God's sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, there were three ministers that had been riding together in a car to go to a joint meeting. When their car broke down, there was an Indian priest. Was an interfaith, so an Indian priest, a Jewish rabbi, and a TV preacher. Now, they broke down within a walking distance of a farm. So they walked up and told the farmer about what had happened in the car. And the farmer said, hey, no problem. We'll make sure we can try to get a tow truck to come down because it's so late at night, it's going to be difficult. We won't be able to get one in the morning, so you can stay here. But the problem is we only have one spare bed in the house. So two of you can take the spare bed, but one of you has to go and sleep in the barn. Well, the Indian priest went out first. And shortly after he was out there, he came back and knocked on the door. And the farmer opened the door, and the other two ministers came up and said, what's going on? And he said, well, you know what? I got out there and I saw all those cows. And where we come from, cows are sacred. Would you care if I come in the house to sleep? No, not a problem. The Jewish rabbi said, I'll go out. So the Jewish rabbi went out into the barn. Shortly after a few minutes, he came back, knocked on the door. Farmer answered the door. Long story short, he said, I cannot stay out there for kosher reasons because there's pigs in the barn. Finally, the TV preacher said, okay, I'll go out. So he went out, and a few minutes later, there was a knock on the door, and the cows and the pigs were at the door. I don't know if he was preaching to them or trying to collect an offering or what, but I want to talk to you, and the little illustration I used last week, we kind of touched on it a little bit, the blessings of being included. Now, most of us have had the experience at one time or another of being left out or rejected for whatever reasons. Perhaps we were rejected for a promotion at work that we thought was easily ours. We were not invited to a family get-together that we thought we would be invited to, but we were left out of. Maybe our kids were not accepted by a certain group at school or wherever, you know. And being on the outside, as we all know, can not only be lonely, but a frustrating experience. Some of us, on the other hand, have had the good fortune of being accepted and included in most situations, wherever we've been at. Or maybe you know the joy of at one time not being included, but then all of a sudden being included because of whatever reasons. Being on the inside can be wonderful and a secure thing. Why? Because no one wants to be on the outside looking in, so to speak, as I was sharing with the kid. And in our reading today, we are reminded of the blessings of why we are accepted into God's family and why God wants no one to be excluded from it. Most in the ancient times, like us today, have all kinds of reasons why we include or exclude people. As I was talking with Chase a little bit there, and he was sharing some of his reasons why he didn't want to have so-and-so on his team during recess. You know, we all do that. We've all been there. We've all been around people. We've all probably done it. However, Paul reminds us today that the economic, cultural, religious, or political divisions of worth and status, in other words, the ins and the outs, who's on the inside, who's on the outside, have been broken in Christ Jesus. This week when I was rereading this, and I've studied this passage many times, I preached on this passage. In fact, during our series on the church, I preached on these verses, but just in a different way. But for some reason this week, this whole thing about those things have been broken in Christ really jumped out at me. And there's some reasons for that. And Paul makes it very clear that whatever our reasons are for accepting people or not accepting people, or including people in our group or not including people in our group, he declares that all of that has been broken because we are included in Christ. And that's because of two things. Number one, if you're following along on the sermon outline, our first word there is our life in Christ. It's because of our life in Christ. It's because we've been baptized and put our faith in Christ that we are included. In other words, in Christ, we are no longer outsiders. There's your next word. Outsiders. We are no longer, as Paul says there, far away from God, excluded from Christ, strangers to God's promises, outsiders to God people, without hope. Now, Paul is dealing with the issue in his day between Jews and Gentiles. Because remember, if you were an Israelite, everybody else was excluded. And only when Christ came did that barrier come down. And that speaks to me today because we put up all kinds of barriers. As I said, they can be economic. Well, they don't live up to our standard. Or religious. Well, they don't believe in Jesus the way we do. Well, God still's working in their life. Got to be careful what you put down. You know, but they're a Democrat, I'm a Republican, or vice versa. I mean, we do that all the time. We divide ourselves up constantly. Well, they don't look like me. They don't come from America. I mean, we can just keep going. There's thousands of different barriers we put up. But the wall that kept human beings from God, which we all know about, we all know that division, don't we? And how God and Jesus took care of the sin barrier and all those kind of things. But what we don't preach or hear preached as much is that Christ also took care of the barriers that we put up between one another. And because of that, that keeps human beings from God and human beings from one another, that has been broken. Now, the Greek word that's used here is luo. The very first word when I first took Greek in college, the first word, verb that we learned to conjugate, I don't know if you've had Spanish or French and you had to go through those conjugations or Latin or whatever. We do it in English, but we do it a little bit different. Luo, luete, luomen. So I'm conjugating. That's the first word. To loose. That's what Paul uses here. He says that a lot of our translations say destroyed or broken or something like that. But it's been loose because those barriers and walls have become chains on us as people. Look what those barriers are doing in the United States of America right now. Forget about Russia. Forget about China. Forget about everybody else. We could destroy our own country from just what we do. Because we erect barriers and hate people because they don't think like we do or whatever. Christ has loosed us from those barriers and they're no longer. And because of that now, in Christ, we are now insiders. Insiders is your next word. We are part of what God is doing in Christ. And not only that, but God wants all to experience that. In fact, if you read the New Testament carefully, it conveys the idea that it's all been done. It's just people that have not experienced it yet are just missing out on it. They need to know what Christ has done. We are part of what God is doing in Christ. We have access to God through Christ and the Spirit. We are citizens with God's people, members of God's family. We are included, as Paul says there, because of the cross of Christ. The cross is the reminder that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. That's all because of our life in Christ. And the second thing is, he says there, and this will be your next word, is our union in Christ. Our union in Christ. What has happened? Paul makes some declarations here that are pretty bold, but because of what Christ has done. First of all, he says, we are one new family in Christ. There's your next word. We are one new family. Christ came into the world to make one whole people. This great work was accomplished in his flesh on the cross and continues through his church, the body of Christ. We are now one in Christ. As Paul says, we are one new people. We are one new body. We are one new family. And we are one new temple. All those metaphors that he used to say. You know how when somebody wants to emphasize something, they'll say it once, right? But if they really, really, really want to emphasize something, what do? They keep saying it. Yes, and they keep saying it over and over in a lot of different ways. And that's because we are now in union with Christ. And because of that, we are a new beacon of peace for the world. There's your last word, peace. I come back to that again. If you saw on the front of your bulletin today, it says, Christ our peace. Christ is our peace. I want you to think of it this way. How many of you have ever been on a trip, maybe up to Michigan, maybe over to the East Coast, and you saw the lighthouses? Yeah, we've been up on the lighthouses up on Erie, on Michigan side. I've never been up on some of the lighthouses on the East Coast yet. But we are a lighthouse of Christ's peace in the world. That's what we're called to be. And that's a peace that's built on Christ the cornerstone. We are the lighthouse of God's presence. So here's what I want you to think about for a minute as we kind of, I'm going to conclude here in a little bit. When people see the church, do they see peacemakers or do they see sword makers? Do they see a people united in worshiping God from all backgrounds, races, nationalities, and walks of life? Because our identities, once we become in Christ, our identities are no longer based primarily on our background or our nationalities, but on our oneness in Christ. We are here today, not because we're Americans, but because of Christ Jesus. He's the one that paid the price. And so I can go and worship with Christians in Iran, Iraq, Indonesia, Germany, India, Florida, all of that. And here's the thing I want you to see that Paul emphasizes. Christ gave his life for that peace. That peace. How many of you remember? We had to read it, which I couldn't stand. And listen to it on a record. The story of Romeo and Juliet in high school. Sophomore year in high school. Thank God in English 9 and 10 in high school, half your grade was grammar and half your grade was literature. I got A's on grammar and C's on literature, and I ended up with a B in the class. So I was happy camper. Because back then I didn't like to read. Now, I can read all the time. But Romeo and Juliet were star-crossed lovers, weren't they? Their families were at war. Though caught in the middle of that bitter battle, which ended up turning an entire town against one another and in turmoil, they lived out their sacrificial love. Their sacrifice led to the ultimate reconciliation. Remember at the end of the story, a new unity between the Capulets and the Montagues, if I'm pronouncing those names right, it's been so long, had developed. I share that with you because likewise, Christ's sacrificial love demonstrated on the cross opened the door to new life and a new union in Christ that expresses the heart and love of God for the world. God's plan was always that we would be a blessing for all the families of the earth. So, here's my challenge. Let's widen our circles a little more and lengthen our tables a little longer as we remember the blessings that we've experienced of being included in God's families. For you know what? In a divided and conflicted world, this is surely good news today. Amen and amen. Well, let's take a few moments and do a few fist bumps, shake some hands, and if you're up to it, you can even give a hug or two and greet one another. Thank you. morning. Amen.